What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 489, and we're switching things up because it is not Wednesday. It is Monday.
100% not Wednesday. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, it definitely feels like a Monday. Does it feel like a Monday to you? I feel tired. And
I was super tired. I stayed up way too late and had a very busy weekend, so I was not ready to roll into Monday at all today.
Yeah, it's just been but we're switching things up. I have some things going on this week, so we had to switch the podcast up, and we're doing it live on Monday. So this week's episode, we have another sponsor for this week's episode, and it is our friends over at ADATA, and we have a little video prepared for you guys. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by ADATA's SD820 external SSD. It's feather light and tough with military grade shock resistance. It's going to have speeds of up to 2,000 megabytes a second, and you can get it in capacities up to 4 terabytes. It's also IP68 dust and waterproof. So if you want to learn more, go ahead and visit thinkcomputers.org/SD820. And that sponsorship is actually pretty fitting, because we're going to talk about a video that we posted today on our YouTube channel, which is the best portable SSDs. We're also going to talk about another video on an MSI entry-level CPU cooler that we published last week. What else are we talking about this week? Some old products coming back into production. An RTX 3060 coming back. A Ryzen 7 5800 X3D coming back. Pretty interesting scam going on Amazon when it comes to buying CPUs. Really interesting DDR5 tech called HUDIM, which we'll talk about to save some money on getting DDR5. Finally, those retro PC cases we saw from Thermaltake at CES, they're now available or now coming out. So we'll talk about that. And Metro 2039 was announced. So we'll talk about that as well. And it's going to be a little bit shorter of an episode because, again, we did the podcast on Wednesday and it is Monday, so we don't have two extra days of news. But we'll be here and we'll be talking tech. So we do have Old Man in the chat. So good to see you here. Good that you caught us on our non-normal podcast day. So, lots to talk about. And we do have our full show notes page that is right here that has everything that we are going to be talking about this week with links to everything. So if you did want to follow along, it's all right here, so you can reference everything later if you need to go ahead and do that. So no written reviews this week. It's all video content. So I did a video on the MSI Mag Core Frozer AA13, and that is a little entry-level cooler, and you can see the video right here. We have the link in the show notes for the video, and we talked about this when we did the written review. Now we have a video review if you want to check it out on our YouTube channel. But the thing I really like about this cooler is that, one, it's small, it doesn't take up a lot of space. Two, it's actually really easy to install. And three, it gets the job done. And I think when it comes to an entry-level CPU cooler, those are kind of the things that you want. It does have pre-applied thermal paste, which I think for entry level is just fine. I don't know how you feel about that, Ryan.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense for sure.
Yeah, and this has an ARGB fan, so it adds a little bit of bling to your system. There are some pictures or some part of the video you can see kind of what it looks like all lit up here. And like I said, it's just super easy to install. What are the things that you look for? If you're doing a system, maybe for a friend, and they want like an entry-level air cooler, like besides, like I said, easy installation, gets the job done, price. Yeah. This is really well priced too.
Yep. I mean, those are kind of the major pieces there, right? Like, first I'm going to try and steer them towards an all-in-one cooler, but if they haven't already made their purchase, yeah. Performance, ease of installation, and then like there's so many of these tower coolers out there from just like smaller brands you've either never heard of, but like with this one, it's a reputable brand, it's a good prod or a good price point, right? Like those types of things are what I'm going to look for.
Yeah, and it is, like, it's a very good price point. You can get it for right around $25, which is pretty cheap for an air cooler. And it has good performance overall. It's like I said, you're not going to overclock like Core Ultra 9 285K on this, but for most processors that are running at their stock speeds, this thing's going to get the job done. So check out the video review. Like I said, I had fun doing this one, and it's always good to put out video content for you guys. So definitely go ahead and check that one out. I also put out a video today, which I called the Portable SSD Buying Guide. And if Ryan knows, Ryan knows that I love portable storage, fast portable storage. And I made a video on, like I said, my favorite sort of portable SSDs, doing like a little bit of a buyer's guide on portable SSDs. And what I wanted to do is I actually have all the ones that I featured in the video. And I wanted to kind of go over, like, you see, you know, when you go to the store, you see the portable SSDs and you're like, these are all the same. Like every, you know, they're all the same. They all look the same.
Sure.
And beyond speed, a lot of the drives are very much the same, but there are a lot of drives that have different feature sets. And that's kind of what I featured in the video. So we're going to go over all five of these that I have here and talk about why they're different. And I think the biggest thing when it comes to portable SSDs is speed. USB 3.2 Gen 2, it's going to be 1,000 megabytes a second. USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, it's going to be 2,000 megabytes a second. And sadly, that typically they don't put that on the box. They usually just put the speed on the box. So when you're at the store, make sure you look at the box and you can see the advertised speed. That's the biggest thing.
Well, and like, and to go back to speed, just like to take one step back, is like there is a difference between just a like a USB flash drive, a portable flash drive, and a portable SSD. And I think some people may get scared away by the price difference between a flash drive, just a standard thumb drive, and this. So there's a huge performance difference between those two. They are not the same type of device.
Correct. Like, what's the speed of like a USB 3 flash drive these days?
Slow. I don't know.
Like, what's slow? Like 150?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So like 150 megabytes a second. And then if you're doing a portable SSD, it's going to start right around 1,000 megabytes a second. If you have a faster one, which is USB 3.2 Gen 2, it's going to be 2,000 megabytes a second. So it's going to be double that speed. So you're going to have much bigger speed difference. And why does the speed matter, right, Ryan? Like, why does the speed matter? Well, if you're transferring files, it just comes down to time, right? You don't want to have to wait a half an hour to transfer your files over. Or if you're transferring like at a friend's house or in between work and home and things like that, you don't want to have to be sitting there for a half an hour waiting for things to transfer. You want it to go really, really fast. Also, if you're using one of these drives as like a mobile gaming drive or editing drive or something like that, you need a certain amount of speed to do that. Or like, you know, your game's not going to load as quickly, and that's not going to be fun as you're just sitting there waiting for your game to load or something like that, or like the next level to load if you're playing a single player game. So that's kind of where the speed comes in. And then as far as like extra features, like I said, each one of these drives that I have here has completely like different feature set, which I love. And talking about flash drives, this one right here, this is the Patriot PVP30, and it looks like a flash drive, but it's not a flash drive. It's a portable SSD. And I love the form factor of this one. I always take this one with me. It's the one that I use to essentially like transfer files between my computer and my phone, because it has the type C built in, and I can just plug it right into the bottom of my phone. But it's not just type C. It actually has a USB type A as well. So you can flip it around. So if you're like using an older PC, you can use the type A and then type C. This one's 1000 megabytes a second. Perfect for transferring files. After that, we have the ADATA SD820. And this is very small, but it's actually a really rugged drive. It's IP68 dust and water resistant. You can actually dunk this in water, which is like definitely gives you peace of mind.
Yeah.
Especially if you're like out on the go or like you're using this in the field.
It's raining or something.
Yeah, like you're using this in the field, maybe on a rig or something like that for a camera or whatever it may be. This will survive anything. It's military drop tested as well. Like you can throw this thing around and nothing's going to happen to it. So I really like that for like your rugged drive. And then after the rugged drive, you have this, which technically isn't a portable SSD, but it it technically is. This is the Patriots EV330. And as you can see, it has a little window on there. And inside, we have an M.2 drive. And this is essentially a portable SSD enclosure. So you can take an old M.2, install it in here, and now you have a portable drive. And as you can see, I have an M.2 2230 in there, but they do make ones for 2280s. So if you're upgrading your PC, you're like, what am I going to do with these old M.2 drives? You can turn it into a portable SSD. So I definitely really like that as well. And then we have the MSI DataMag, and it's called DataMag because it's a magnetized drive. And the thing that's really good about the magnetized drive is if you have a phone that has MagSafe, it will just go right onto the back of your phone, plug in your cable right here, and you're essentially good to go. Especially if you are using an iPhone, you can only record Apple ProRes directly to an SSD. You can't record it to the phone itself. So if you're doing that, another thing that's also good is like this drive comes with one of those magnetic rings. So you can put that like on the lid of your laptop and then just always have the drive on there. So I really like that for this one. And then finally, for people who are forgetful, we have this one from ADATA as well. This is their SC740 and it has a built-in cable. So if you forget your cable, you're usually SOL because you can't. You can't connect one of these drives without their included cable. This comes with the cable included, which I really, really like. So if you forget your cable, you're always, like I said, you know, you don't have to worry about it. So I really like that. The only thing is if this cable does, for some reason, fail, you got to get a new drive. So that's kind of a bummer. But beyond that, I like that as well. So those are like all the different variations of portable SSDs that you can get. And check out the video because, like I said, I go over all of them, which ones I like the best. And again, go into more detail on each individual drive. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Again, that is linked in the show notes. So like I said, go ahead and check that out for sure. I missed a lot of things in the chat. So we got my buddy Corey here. Good to see you here. Tim3172 says portable SSD start around 400 megabytes a second. USB 3.2 Gen 2 is 10 gig, not 20. Yes, but 2x2 is 20. Right. 2x2 is 20. Old man in the chat says, years ago, I had a portable hard drive that used USB 2.0. It was less than 30. Yeah, I remember that. I definitely remember those days. And then when you were transferring things over, you had to wait like a while. If you, especially if you're transferring something big, it took a long time.
I remember my first USB 2 drive. I actually still have it in the drawer here. I was like so excited to go from a USB 1 to a USB 2 drive. And yeah, I thought it was pretty sweet.
Yeah. And now we're good. Like, we have USB 3.2 Gen 2, and that is sort of like the standard. But we're going to be moving to USB 4 here soon. And that's going to bring even more speed, which is going to be great. So, we'll have a bunch of reviews of those drives coming up in the near future as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. Also, I didn't put in the show notes. I don't know why I didn't put in the show notes, but of course we have Case Mod Friday. That is, of course, where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have the Project V8 build from our friends over at Liquid House. And this was a collab between them, Cooler Master, and Acura. And as you can see, it looks like an engine. Like, it looks like a...
Yeah, this thing's sweet.
Yeah, I love a car this engine. It just looks awesome. And super, super unique. Really cool. It has those thicker Cooler Master fans, too. And then these crazy exhausts here.
I really want to, like, talk to them about this and see like how much air you can feel coming out the back there, right? Out of the exhaust, right? I don't know. It's really cool. I love this design and the work they've done on it.
Yeah, super cool. They did one of these a couple years back too. This one is sort of like an evolution of that, and I just think it looks awesome. Yeah. They actually had this on display at the Long Beach Grand Prix this past weekend. If you were there, you got to see this set up in one of the systems that was there. But yeah, just like super, super unique. They're one of the few like people that can do these that like just really,
designed those intakes as well, right? That's modified, and they sell that design too. So if you want to get one of those components for yourself, you can pick them up, and they make all sorts of cool little, not accessory products, but just like, just neat stuff. Check them out.
Yeah, for sure. We have them linked in the article if you want to check it out. But yeah, just awesome work. Like, again, if you're an automotive fan, you're definitely gonna go ahead and love this build. And the one we saw before, their previous one was on like a racing rig, like a racing rig. So that'd be cool to see this one on a racing rig as well. Just because it would fit it perfectly, just like that one did too. So shout out to Liquid House for that one. Old Man says, need the fans to light up in engine firing order. That would be cool. That'd be really, really cool as well. Yeah, but awesome build again from Liquid House. And a reminder, guys, we are giving away some DDR5. It is still RAM shortage time, because you still can't find RAM for very good prices. So we are giving away a 32 gig kit of the Lancer Blade from ADATA, 32 gig kit, non-RGB, but still will save you a ton of money, it seems like, right now. So there's 6 days left on this. The link is in the show notes, but really easy to go ahead and enter. And as a reminder, guys, when we choose the winner, you have to be subscribed to our email newsletter. We double check your email against the email subscriber newsletter. So don't just join the newsletter to open up all the other ways to enter and then unsubscribe to the newsletter. You have to be subscribed to the newsletter. It's the only thing we ask. So, because we've had winners of previous contests and then they weren't subscribed to the newsletter, so we had to void their winning entry and choose somebody else. And we don't want to do that to you guys. So just giving you guys a fair heads up on that one. But yeah, just get some DDR5.
Sweet.
So yeah. And then we'll move on to news. And not a ton of news this week, but two really interesting stories of products that had been out for a very long time.
Like, what year is it?
That are reemerging, being re-released because of the fact that, yeah, we have shortages and things, and they're like, they were really good products at the time. So first off, when it comes to graphics cards, NVIDIA is going to re-release a 3060 12 gig.
Oh, the EVGA makes me miss them in the video card world.
Do you think the EVGA could put this back out?
They're like, hey, we got some back stock. Let's try and get rid of these things.
Yeah, that would be cool for EVGA. So there was a rumored RTX 5090 9 gigabytes. It's apparently delayed. I don't know what the issues are with that. So because of that, we are going to see an RTX 3060 12 gig re-release. And like I said, that would be awesome for EVGA to be like, hey, we'll re-release our card.
Yeah, if like they're for some reason like their licensing agreement or you know with NVIDIA includes like older cards, but it doesn't make sense normally to release an older card. They could just be like, "All right, we're spinning the machine back up, release some video cards." Yeah, that'd be awesome.
How excited would people be?
I think that it adds some hype to this story, because otherwise it's kind of like, eh.
Yeah, this picture is from a review of a 3060 from EVGA. So, but yeah, it would be really, really cool to see EVGA spin back up for some 30 series cards. Just, you know.
And there's so many games you can still play with a 3060 12 gig, right? Like my son uses his 2070 Super. That's what I was using before I moved to the 5080, right? And he plays all sorts of games on that, and doesn't complain at all, but he also may not, you know, he's not running AAA titles.
Yeah.
But this is a perfectly good card for a lot of games and a lot of applications. So, yeah, I guess when it makes sense, it makes sense. And if you got to pivot to doing this, to be able to allow gamers to buy your products, then I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, there's that need in that certain price range and that performance range, and they still have the hardware out there. Just makes sense to spin it back up to give people kind of what they need in that price range. So yeah, should be kind of interesting to see, But I think the best part of this story would be of EVGA coming yeah. coming back for yeah, it, cool. like, you know, you could find them. But I think like EVGA got rid of all of probably all sure. that stuff, and they also got rid of all of the like everything to do with their graphics cards, like, you know,
yeah.
so
yeah.
Yeah, who knows though?
But that's like be it's just cool. covered up by a tarp in the warehouse or something. You yeah, know?
Now that would be a cool part of the story, right? If yeah. EVGA was like, hey, like NVIDIA's re-releasing, like we'll release, you know, our 3060 12 gig just to, you know, give gamers some hope. And again, I feel like a lot of people do miss EVGA. Probably one of the, what did you say? They were like probably one of the better graphics card
oh, yeah.
brands out there.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So it'd be cool if they come back. We'll I don't think that's gonna happen, but yeah. Also the Ryzen 7 5800X3D, you have that part, right?
I do, still using it.
Are you still using it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So great part. One of the most popular parts that AMD ever put out. They're gonna re-release it as a 10th anniversary edition of AM4, not of that processor. Obviously, right. we're not that old, at least not yet. But it is the 10th anniversary edition of AM4, celebrating 10 years of that platform. So they're going to go ahead and re-release it.
It's the same CPU. Like, they're not changing anything about it, other yeah. than I think it has a different colored heat spreader. Is that right?
Doesn't and have a gold?
Just the box.
There's a picture of the box that I saw that has just says it has like this little emblem on it right here.
It would have been cool if they tweaked it a little bit, you know. But
yeah,
yeah. If you wanted one, like they're kind of hard to find now, especially new. Like you can find used ones, but if you want a brand new one, now's your chance to pick one up. You know, you like maybe held off on upgrading to one, and then you've not upgraded to AM5 and you've just kind of like been sitting there and like wishing you would have bought one.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's cool. And like, can you believe that the AM4 platform is 10 years old?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's what I've been on ever since it came out.
Yeah. It's a great platform.
Yeah.
So yeah, kind of cool to see the re-release. And for people who might want to build something a little, you know, like still like that platform's still great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For so many things. And if you wanted to build, I guess you would call it a more mid-range system these days.
Sure.
You can go ahead and do that. So really cool to see AMD come out with that. And I think brands right now, I think they're like, they're just like looking for ways
anything.
to get people to build a PC, because the biggest bottleneck for building a PC right now is memory, right? It's so expensive. So people are just waiting, right? They're waiting for the price to go down. And like brands, even prices of like cases, we've seen being pretty aggressive. We just saw with Intel's, their refresh, very aggressive pricing on those as well.
And games bundled again with
video cards. Like, we're seeing a lot, and like we saw those bundles. I know Old Man was talking about the bundle that he got with the new Intel refresh processor. It was like, was it a motherboard, a
CPU
and a power supply all together for like $300 all in?
I saw one today or yesterday that was like $999, and it was I forget what it was, but it was like so much gear. It's like so much of it was essentially free. They like advertised, like the big piece was like that it came with a 32 gig or maybe a 64 gig kit of memory, but it had like a motherboard, a case, maybe a CPU. It was just like this wild bundle.
They have to move these. They have to move this hardware. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Otherwise that stuff's dead. Just sitting.
Yeah. There. Yeah. It's just sitting there. So they have to take some type of loss, but they need to do the sale. Like it's, yeah, I think that's why we're seeing these relaunches. I think that's why we've seen like the bundle deals that are really like, if they don't include memory, they're really good deals. But if you include the memory, like they're not the best deal, I would say. But yeah, it's pretty cool to see that. I think brands, again, are going to keep on trying to get people to build a new PC, right? To buy their parts, to build a new PC. So, we'll see what happens with all that. But definitely good to see prices go down for sure. And I'm all excited for re-releases, like iconic products. I like to see like some type of like homage to those products. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It says, old man said he got a 200 Intel Core Ultra Plus or Core Ultra 5 250K Plus motherboard, and 750 watt power supply for 300.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
Not bad. Yeah, not bad at all. Talking about buying a CPU, this happened. This is an interesting scam going on. Somebody bought a Ryzen 9 9950 X3D and got a 3D printed version. It had a real IHS, like it had the real heat spreader. But it was the base was 3D printed.
Yep. And this guy, I saw this. This guy had bought it from like a bin shop or like a pallet store, you know, where you can buy like they buy return pallets and then or something very similar to that. And I don't know. He was trying to get his money back, but they're like, oh, no, this is like, you know, all sales final. And you're like, this is
crazy. It's kind of shady. Like,
but why, like whoever did it, like did the printing and put it back on there, why go to so much work? Like, just throw the heat spreader back in there or just like.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe like it has to pat, like, you know, like, okay, so like you're returning this, right?
Yeah.
And like somebody has to inspect it.
I guess
like,
somebody looks at it. It looks okay.
Yeah, it looks like a CPU. Like, you know, like it probably just gets past that initial check. It's thrown in the return pallet and then it's good to go. But it is a pretty, and you know, and they had to take the real IHS off. So they had to delid their actual 9950 X3D. But yeah, it's an interesting little scam. Wonder how many they got through or like how many got passed.
But then you have to like have customers or use cases for all these delidded CPUs. Like, I don't think delidding is that popular that like your market is that big. You know what I mean?
Maybe it's like a system builder and they just like,
sure, that's, yeah, yeah.
You know, they just, you know, it's under an AIO. Nobody knows.
That'd suck.
Yeah. But yeah, pretty interesting story. I'd be pissed. Like if I just bought a CPU and it like, I was like, what is this? You know, so really, really interesting. We have the link to the Reddit post if you want to check it out and read more about it, but pretty thorough scam going on, which is, like I said, pretty
crummy.
Yeah, pretty crummy. Okay, so DDR5 is very expensive. And we're going through a RAM crisis now. ASRock has developed a new type of DDR5 standard called HUDIM. And essentially, instead of having dual channel or two subchannels within the DIM itself, you're going to get a single subchannel, which essentially puts the bandwidth in half, but it's going to lower the manufacturing cost of the module itself. And this is already going to work with ASRock Intel 600, 700, 800 series motherboards with the BIOS update. And it can be paired with standard DIMMs. Like you can run two DIMMs in dual channel and one in single channel. And they have like this like benchmark that shows like one plus two subchannels, and then two subchannels like right around the same performance.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is. Interesting.
Thinking outside the box.
Yeah, like you know, if you just and especially for like low cost builds where you want like maybe like an 8 gig kit in there. Or even like you could do 16 gig, but single DIM kit, you know. I like that we're innovating right now. I don't know how long these things will last, but I do like that we're innovating when it comes to this. Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Single channel.
Gotta do what you gotta do to keep selling parts.
Exactly. Corey in the chat says, is it still worth going from DDR5 from DDR4? I mean, that's a whole system upgrade, right? Like you're not going to necessarily upgrade from like a DDR4 system to a DDR5 system. Typically, you're going to need new motherboard, new processor, right? And right now, I don't think it's a good time to do that upgrade. At least not right now. If your system's good, it's performing well, I don't see it as being like
not worth it.
Yeah, at least not right now. It's not going to be worth it. And as we get into summer, and then thinking about like, you know, summer sales, and then as we get into the fall, you're thinking about Black Friday, like that's probably the time to upgrade. If you can hold off, and again, if your system is performing well, and just to give you an idea, like Old Man says, his G-Skill Ripjaws DDR5 32 gig kit is $411 right now on Amazon. He paid $90 a few years ago, the exact same kit. So that gives you an idea of how expensive DDR5 is. So yeah, not really worth upgrading at this point. If your system's running fine, you don't have any issues, I think you would just be better off just waiting, at least to like the Prime Day summer sale or whatever.
Yep, they got some sort of discount.
Yeah. And again, as this continues, brands and online retailers are going to keep on trying to sell product because nobody's really building PCs right now. So again, they're going to discount things and come with these bundles. That's really what you want to look for. You know, if you're thinking about doing an upgrade or thinking about building a new system, I think that's kind of the way to go. We saw Silverstone released two really popular retro cases, and it looks like Thermaltake is going to do the same thing. I got to see these at CES earlier this year, and beyond the cases, I really like the AIO. We don't have a ton of information on the AIO and didn't get a ton of information on the AIO at CES, but it looked really cool and it goes perfect with these cases. So this is their new retro series. So it's a retro 260TG and retro 360TG. The 260 is micro ATX, and then the retro 360 is an ATX case. It does have the very much retro aesthetic, doesn't have the turbo button like the Silverstone does, but definitely the retro aesthetic. This is just a cover. These are not real 5.25-inch drive bays. The Silverstone one, they are real, right?
I think so.
Yep. Yeah. But these are just covers. But the AIO, it's fashioned like a
little CRT.
Yeah, it looked so good at CES. I can't wait till it comes out. You'll have to get one to review, Ryan.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's that looked really cool. And to go with something like this is even cooler. And again, here you can see the 260 right there. It's kind of cool how I don't know if this is probably AI, right?
I was going to say, look at the mouse. The mouse is backwards.
Oh, yeah, the mouse is backwards. Yeah, definitely AI.
I wish they would have used a real setup. But
here's, like I said, 260, the internals. Pretty simple case, nothing crazy. Again, it just feels like that retro vibe, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, look at, you can tell us.
Like, what is that? Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta get a little bit better at this.
Need a better prompt engineer.
Yeah, or something. But in any case, I'm a fan of these. Ryan and I were talking before the podcast. We're old heads now, so we definitely enjoy these kind of homage to the older cases. And as you can see with this one, like again, those 5.25-inch bays, that's just a cover. They are going to sell an LCD that goes on these. I don't think I.
That makes sense. They do that for a lot of their cases.
Yeah.
And they usually look pretty good. So
yeah, they're going to sell, I think it's a 6-inch LCD that goes right here that actually looks really good. But yeah. And as you can see for the larger one, I think both do, but they support BackConnect motherboards as well. You can see all the openings for all of that, which is definitely nice. So yeah, if you want to kind of do the sleeper build, if you wanted to, you can definitely do it with this. Let's see if they have the picture. Yeah, here's the screen with the screen. You can see the screen that would go in there. That looked pretty cool on there. And the screen is extra. It doesn't come with the case, but you can buy it extra and it goes right on there. So yeah, definitely a fan. Would you do like a retro build in one of these or like the Silverstone? No.
Nah. I had my fair share of retro PC gaming and use back in the day. I'm fine. I don't need a beige box.
Yeah, me neither. I don't think I'd do that either. And then finally, our last piece of news here is that we have a new Metro game.
So I've never played a Metro game.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, neither I benchmarked with Metro games, but I never actually
played. I think that's all I've done is benchmark with
it. Yeah. So Metro 2039. It's more darker, inspired by real world horrors. We do have the trailer. It does look good. I always say that about games, but then I never end up playing them.
Yeah.
I don't know if Old Man, if you've ever played this, but like the screenshots look good too. Like it looks like a really cool game. I don't know. But yeah, never played a Metro at all. I never played a Metro and I never played a BioShock. Sure.
Oh, yeah, I didn't play BioShock either.
I never played a Metro. I never played a BioShock, and I never played a Fallout.
Yeah, I haven't played Fallout either.
Yeah. We're like the big
He says those Metro games are excellent. So
yeah. What is like the big game franchises that you've never played? That could be our question
of
the
week. I mean, a lot of those. I didn't ever play... What's the one where... Skyrim? Never played.
I played Skyrim for a little bit. Do you play Halo?
I have to say yes, because yes, I have. But it's not like I played it very much.
Gears of War?
Didn't play any Gears of War. No.
Okay.
But those are console. That's a console specific, right?
Yeah, like, you can play Gears of War on PC.
You can, but
yeah. I'm trying to think. Like, you know, you have like the Unreal Tournament. You have Quake.
Yeah,
you have Doom, any versions of Doom. You know, I played those.
Yep.
I don't know.
Half-Life.
Yeah, you got your Half-Life. Strike.
Warcraft.
Yeah, like do you play like Dota?
I did. I played some League of Legends when it first came out. Yeah.
Okay. I
played it a lot actually.
But not Dota?
I did not play any Dota until after. And I would play like the Defense of the Ancients map in Warcraft 3, not actual Dota.
Okay. Yeah. Like I played the Warcrafts, played StarCrafts. What else? What are like these massive
World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I played like World of Warcraft. I played I'm trying to think. Like I played like I played Final Fantasy. That's like a big IP that like most people
never play that.
Okay.
No.
Metal Gear Solids I've played. Those are really good.
You've gone away from PC again.
Metal Gear Solid's on PC.
I know, but I'm just trying to keep it PC.
What else? What other big like Minecraft? I'm sure you played.
Yeah.
I played Minecraft as well. Yeah, I don't like. I said, what are like the other big IPs that I played? SimCity.
Yeah, I had first SimCity, The Sims.
Yeah, I played Sims. Sims is like probably one of the biggest franchises, like beyond like Minecraft and Fortnite. It
really is. It's still around.
Yeah,
crazy to me. But
you played Team Fortress?
I did. Okay. Team Fortress 2. I didn't play any original. I'm
trying to think, like if you look up like most
popular
games of all time.
Oof.
Grand Theft Auto, obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. PUBG. We played PUBG for a little bit.
Yeah.
Fortnite. Yeah, this is like a Fortnite, Terraria. I played
I think I have it, but I don't play it. Yeah, Witcher 3. I've got it, but I
Roblox. I've played.
My kids play that.
I've never played the Stardew Valley.
Nope, I haven't either.
Yeah.
Peace. Yeah.
Most iconic.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Half-Life 2, Warcraft 3.
I never played RuneScape.
No, me either.
Crisis?
Mostly for the meme, they say.
Yeah. Genshin Impact? No, I never played that one. Undertale?
I did buy TMNT Splinter. I think it's Splintered Fates or Splintered Fate. It's on sale on Steam or was for like $7. Yeah. So I bought that.
Supreme Commander. Do you ever play those?
No.
Or like Total Annihilation, those are good RTS games.
Nope. I played like Command and Conquer, like Generals. Yeah. This is a pretty good, yeah, there's some good stuff in here.
There's some good, yeah. UT it's kind of interesting, like, certain games that were so iconic that, like, you're like, oh, yeah, I just never
played Mass Effect.
I played some Mass Effect.
Right. I never played any.
Yeah, I played Mass Effect 3 a lot. Assassin's Creed's were also really good. I never played the Fable games.
Nope, me either.
Yeah, never played Fallout. Yeah. Omen says Undertale is $249 on Steam.
I did see some new, excuse me, PC games that looked kind of cool on Steam. I forget the article I was reading, but like in it was some shots of, like, there was a game that looked like, if you know, like early Mickey Mouse was Steamboat Willie, you know, when he first came out. It's, and they call him, what do they call him? Like rubber leg games or something, or, right? Because they're all their arms and legs just like,
oh,
like,
yeah,
rubber tubes. And it's like this black and white first person shooter cartoony looking game. What was it called? It's like, I don't know, Mouse PI or something. I don't know. It looked kind of neat. There are a couple others. There's like a pirate survival type game that looked kind of cool. And
yeah, I just don't have time to play games. I wish I had time.
That's all these kind cool of games. I don't have time to play them.
Yeah, we don't have time to play them. Krampus is in the live chat. Good to see you here as well. Mafia 1 and 2, those were really good. A lot of people
used to benchmark those too.
Yeah, I never played them though. Dead Space.
Yeah, Civ Mouse 5. PI for Hire. That was the.
Yeah.
That was one.
Yeah, Dishonored. A lot of people played that.
What was the bank robbing game? Payday?
I played a lot of Payday. But yeah, Wolfenstein, everybody played that back in the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man, this is Left 4 Dead 2. Portal, do you play Portal?
I played the first one. I don't think I played the second. What was the... There's kind of a cartoony... Oh, my gosh. Just Cause. That's what it was. Yeah. That was like a series of games. They were pretty fun. The Division.
The Division I played. I mean, we played those.
Yeah. Some of the Tom Clancy games, right? Like Ghost Recon type stuff. Yeah. Splinter Cell.
Yeah, those were good too. There's so many good. I feel like if you're like, I don't know what game to play, like there's so many good games.
There's so many you could play, yeah.
And you could go back and play so many awesome games too. So, but that is our news for the week. Short week, like I said, because we are podcasting on Monday. Krampus says his first computer game was Heroes of Might and Magic. What is that?
I've seen that. I haven't ever played it though.
Yeah, Just Cause 3 is actually a good game. And Old Man says it's really cheap on Steam.
Is that the one that I had? Just Cause 3. Let's see here. Yeah, that's the one that I've had and played. It was so much fun. Like,
yeah, it's a really fun game.
Like a parachute, and you could like zip line the stuff. Oh my gosh!
Did you ever play any of the Need for Speed games?
I had Need for Speed 1, the very first one.
Okay, yeah, those were fun games too.
Yeah, I mean that's probably one of the first like true computer games I ever played on our first computer. Yeah, I mean it.
Nice. Yeah. But yeah, enough game talk. Coming next week, we have a detailed comparison of the Intel Core Ultra 2 or Ultra 7 270K and the Core Ultra 250K Plus. So kind of a head-to-head to see, like, if you're gaming, do you really need the 270K? Or will 250K just, like, what's the difference, right? So we're going to do that. And then Ryan is going to go ahead and take a look at the new Elite Series AIOs from Cooler Master. So this is their new Elite Series. He has the 360. Definitely new design from Cooler Master. Interesting to see the review you're going to have of these, because kind of like, what would you call it? Like a modern design?
Yeah, yeah. Modern, minimalist, like.
Yeah, different.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's cool, though. I like them.
Yeah, so Ryan will have that this upcoming week as well. So definitely go ahead and stay tuned for that. Old Man says Need for Speed on the 3DO. Oh, man, that's old. 3DO is old. But that is essentially going to wrap it up for this week. It's good to talk some old school games. Again, shorter podcast this week, just because it is Monday, not Wednesday. But stay tuned. Next Wednesday, we'll have a full episode, and that one should be decently long because, again, we're going to have a couple extra days in there as well. But definitely stay tuned for Ryan and I's upcoming reviews, as well as some more video content coming. And no gaming tonight. Got a bunch of stuff to get done. So, and it is Monday.
As always.
So, yeah. So no gaming tonight, but, like I said, we will see everybody next week. And thanks to everybody in the live chat, Old Man, Krampus, Corey, who were the other people in here? We had Tim, and a couple other people. So good to see everybody in the live chat, and we will see everybody next week.